The third parak starts discussing the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. We've gone from Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim now to discussing Kriyas HaTorah all year long. And in fact, before we get into that, we're going to have three mishnayos to talk about Bate Knesses, shuls, and various aspects of shuls. Now, we're going to have a couple important prefaces to the next couple of mishnayos. Number one is we have a important principle of Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'ein Morin, that we go up in Kedusha and we don't go down in Kedusha. And that the application of that is if we have Judaica articles, we can only, if we sell that article, we can only use the money that is on a higher level of Kedusha, not a lower level of Kedusha. So, for example, if somebody sells Svarim, we're talking about Chumashim or something like that, you can only go up and buy a Sefer Torah, which is on a higher level of Kedusha, Ma'alin Bakodesh, Vein Morid, and you don't go down. In other words, you can't buy something of lower Kedusha. You could not buy, selling Chumashim, you couldn't buy an Aron Kodesh or something like that. So we will get into the details of that. That's the focus of Mishnah Aleph. Now, another very important proviso when we're talking about that you need to use that money for something of higher significance, that is under the following important condition. The way that the affairs of a shul used to be governed was called the Shiva Tove Ha'ir, literally the seven good people of the town, seven good people of the city. The effect of this, is the parallel that we have nowadays would likely be the board of directors of a shul. So what we have a situation is if the board of directors, the Shiva Tove Ha'ir, agree to a sale, and the individuals of the town or in that shul, the residents of that town, the people who make up the members of that shul, the membership, they were aware of the understanding, the decision of the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir. They knew about it, and the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir agreed to sell something, even of very significance. They sell the Sefer Torah, they sell the shul. In that situation, the money that's received does not have to be used for something of Kedusha. It doesn't have to be used to buy something else of Judaica, something else even of more significance. That money is free game because we had both variables. The Shiva Tovei Ha'ir made a decision, and also the members of that town, the members of that shul, they knew about that decision. Our Mishnah discussing when we have limitations that we can only use that money upon a sale is if the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir agreed to a sale, they went forward with the sale, the people who were members of that shul or the residents of the town, if there's only one shul, they did not know about it. And in that situation, because they didn't buy into the decision, they didn't know about the decision, then we have limitations on the usage of money. That's what we're talking about. But again, if the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir agree for a sale and the members know about it, then that sale certainly is going to be valid and there are no limitations on the use of the money. So the Mishnah says as follows, B'nei Ha'ir Shemachru Rechova Shalir. It's literally the members of a town is talking about the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir. They decided to sell literally the town square. It's talking about that they used to use the town square on occasion for davening. For example, on special fast days, they used to go out in the town. This is talked about in the Mishnayos of Tainis. So that town square has a certain level of Kedusha. So the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir went and they sold that area, the town square that had a certain level of Kedusha, but the people of the town did not know about it. Lokhim Bedama Beis HaKnesses. In order to use it for that money, it has the limitations we discussed before. Accordingly, they can only go up Ma'alim Bekodesh Ve'imoridim, and they can use that money to buy a shul which is on a higher level of Kedusha, because the shul is used every day for davening, while the town square was only used occasionally. Beis HaKnesses, if they agree to sell the shul, Lokhim Teva, they can buy an Aron Kodesh with the money. That's Ma'alim Bekodesh. Teva, Lokhim Mit Pachot, if they sold the Teva, they sold the Aron Kodesh, you can buy the wrappings on the Torah scroll. That is on a higher level because the wrappings, what we wrap the Torah in, touches the Torah, whereas the Aron Kodesh doesn't. So your Ma'alim Bekodesh, Mit Pachot, if they sold the Mit Pachot, the wrappings of the Torah scroll, Lokhim Svarim, they can buy Svarim. There are two explanations what Svarim means. It's either the scrolls of the Nevi'im, Ksuvim, or Ksuvim, so they can buy, going up is buying scrolls, like it's written on a cloth, like a Nevi'im and Ksuvim, or it's talking about Chumashim written on a scroll. In other words, it would have been a kosher Sefer Torah, but they have them divided up. Here's a Bereshis, here's a Shmoshis, very good, separately. So it doesn't have the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. So if they sold the wrappings, they can buy the Svarim, be it the Nach, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, or the Chumashim. And Svarim at the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir agree, although the members of the town didn't know about it, decided to buy mitbrachot lochim svarim. If they sold svarim lochim Torah, they would buy a sefer Torah because the sefer Torah is in the highest level of kedusha. That's the pecking order of malim b'kodesh ve'morid. And now the Mishnah is going to go through the reverse. What cannot be done? Avali machru Torah. However, if they sold the Torah, lo yichus farim, you cannot go down. Ein morida means you cannot buy the nevim uksuvim, or the separate chumashim. Svarim, if they sold the svarim, lo yichu mitbachot, then you cannot go down a level and buy the wrappings around the Sefer Torah. Mitbachot, if they sold the mitbachot, the wrappings of the Sefer Torah, lo yichu teva, they can't buy the Aron Kodesh, because this is all moridim, going down a level of Kedusha. Teva, if they sold the Aron Kodesh, lo yichu beis haKnesset, you can't use that money to buy a shul beis haKnesses. If they sold the beis haKnesses, lo yichu er tarachov, they can't buy the town square. And the Mishnah continues, v'chein b'mosrei, and if we have money that's left over, in other words, if we sold something, and something on a certain level of Kedusha for $100, and we went up a level, but we only spent 80, the excess 20 has the same restrictions. It also has the concept of malim bakodesh. You have to use that money for something more kadosh and in morida, but not something less kadosh. The poskim do discuss, how about going lateral, sideways, selling a aron kodesh and getting a new aron kodesh, selling a sefer Torah and getting a new sefer Torah. That is not discussed in our Mishnah, but certainly it's talked about by the poskim. Now we're going to get into an important discussion about selling a shul. There's a dispute about selling a synagogue. Ein mochrim es shel rabim liyachid. We cannot, if we have a shul that is used by a community, the rabim, it cannot be sold off to an individual. He'll use it for his own davening, but there won't be as large as tzibur there. And the Mishnah says, mibnei shemoridin oso miktusha. So because selling it in order to be used as a personal shul as opposed to a communal shul, that is also violating going down moridim bakodesh. We are going down in a level. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, and we can explain this, is of the view that if we have Rov Am Hadras Melech, if we have a majority, we have a lot of people davening in a shul, and you sell it to an individual, he's going to use it for him and his family. But we don't have the same Barov Am anymore. The Hidr of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is having a lot of people there. That violates the problem of moridim bakodesh. You're going down in Kedusha when you sell that shul. Chachamim disagree. Amru lo. In Cain, if you want to put a restriction on it that you cannot sell because you're concerned, you're going to have fewer people there. Malim b'kodesh v'in moridin. It's a moridin. If you have fewer people, you don't have the Rav Am anymore. Im Cain af lo mi'ir gedola li'ir kitani. You could also not sell that shul from a larger community, more people davening in a shul to, even if it's not selling it to an individual, but selling it to a smaller community, a shul that has a lesser membership and fewer people are going to daven in there. If you're concerned, Rabbi Yehuda, is that you're not going to have the Barov Am, the same number of people there. What does it matter if you're going from a shul owned by the public to an individual, even if you're going from a shul to a shul, but you're selling it to a smaller membership? That would be problematic. Also, in other words, Chachamim are saying that we disagree. Just like it can be sold from a larger community to a smaller community, it can also be sold from a larger community to an individual who's going to use it for his personal needs. Just to mention, there's a lot of halacha on this and a lot of complicated halacha on this, but we'll just mention one specific halacha. And when it comes to the selling of a Sefer Torah, we pass in Shulchan Aruch that lechatchila we should not be selling a Sefer Torah, even somebody who has like a lot of Sefer Torah and that has a number, he has a collection. Don't sell Sefer Torah lechatchila, even if he doesn't have a lot of food to eat, meaning he just has enough to get by. Still, that would be problematic. Even to sell an old one to buy a new one, we should not be selling Sefer Torah. It's a bit of a disgrace to sell a Sefer Torah. There are three exceptions that are brought lechalacha. If somebody desperately needs that money, he has no other option in order to support himself to learn Torah, then it is permitted to sell a Sefer Torah in order to enable somebody to learn Torah. If somebody needs the money in order to get married, to support himself in marriage, to pay for the needs of the marriage and the needs thereafter, that would also permit selling a Sefer Torah. And also for Pidyon Shvuim, redeeming captives, this is another form of Pikuach Nefesh, then it would be permitted, if there are no other options, even to sell a Sefer Torah. Mishnah Beis deals with restrictions on the sale of a shul. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ein mochrin beis haKnesses. We cannot sell a shul ella al tanai unless we have a condition shim yirtzu yachsi ruhu divrei Rabbi Meir, on the condition that when it's sold, we need an explicit stipulation that the sellers have a right to repurchase it. In other words, to sell a shul is a disgrace, but if they make it on a condition that they have a right to repurchase it, even if they sell it to another shul, it's showing that they don't want to depart from the shul, and simply that they need to for financial reasons, that they care about the shul, so they want an ability to buy it back when the conditions are right for the sellers. So that is opinion number one. The Chachamim omrim, mochrim oso mimkar olam. Chachamim says you do not need to make this explicit some stipulation. You can sell it forever, mimkar olam, as its final sale without a conditional sale. However, Chachamim are of the view that despite the fact that when you sell it, the act of sale causes the Beis HaKnesses, the shul, to lose its kedusha. Nonetheless, the sellers have to be careful to not sell it for a use that will disgrace the shul. So in other words, it's a sale. The shul goes out of having a kedusha, but chutz me'arba dvarim, you sell it as a mim karolim, but for with the exception of the four following things that if a prior shul was used, even though it has no more kedusha, it would still be disgraceful. La merchatz, which is a bathhouse, la borsaki, a tannery, as part of the tanning process, it's very, very smelly because they used to use dung in the process. Mila tefila, as a mikvah, people undressed totally there. La beis hamayim, and that means either a bathroom or it's a laundromat of some sort. All of those would be four disgraceful uses for the shul, even without its kedusha. And the next Tana disagrees again. A third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mochrin Oso L'Shem Chatzar, it's permitted to sell it even for these four uses on the following condition, that the sellers say we are selling it for a non-sacred use, a non-sacred purpose. In other words, if they don't make the condition, a shul maintains its kedusha, but if they make that condition on it, then it goes out of its being holy. V'halokeach mashi yirtza yas, and if they make that condition that they are going to sell it for a non-Kaddish use, then the purchaser would be permitted to use it for any purpose, including the four that would be disgraceful, because there is no longer, with that stipulation, there's no longer Kedusha in the structure of the prior shul. How do we paskin of these three shitas? We indeed paskin like Chachamim, that a shul can be sold, it can be sold forever, but the condition is it cannot be used for one of those four uses, because that would be a disgrace to the shul. However, there's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, Mishbruch, etc., that if the sale was affected by the Shiva Tove Ayir, the board of directors, the board of trustees of the shul, and the members of the shul, the members of the community, have knowledge of it, there is an opinion that even when you sell it, under those conditions, that the shul can indeed, even though we paskin like Chachamim, in that situation, the shul can be used even for one of those four disgraceful uses. However, there is an opinion that disagrees that even if it's sold by the board of trustees and people know about it, nonetheless, we still have the restriction that the shul cannot be used for any one of those four disgraceful uses. Mishnah Gimel teaches us the halachas about a shul that has not been sold, but it has fallen into decay. It is in ruin. It's not used anymore. That the same halachas that apply to an active shul, which referred to as a mikdash mat, it's a form of the base of mikdash, also apply to a shul that is no longer used. So the Mishnah says as follows, Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda came and taught us as well, Beis HaKnesses Shachar, of a shul that has been destroyed. It is sitting in ruins, it's in decay. Ein mas bidim besocha, we can't use it to eulogize individuals. If it's a Talmud Chacham, we can, but not for individuals. These same halachas we're about to see apply to an active shul as well. Ve'ein mafshilin besocha chavalim, we can't do any work in them, including we can't twist in them ropes. In other words, this is a large empty area, so it'd be very good for us to be using for work that requires a large area. Don't even do that. Ve'ein korsin besocha metzudos, don't spread in it nets. In other words, don't put up traps to catch animals. Ve'in shotchim al gago peirot, don't use its roof to dry out your fruits. Ve'in osin oso kapanj, we also don't use it as a shortcut. Same halacha applies to an active shul. We don't walk through a shul from one side to the other, making it a shortcut. These would all be disgraces of either a retired shul or an active shul, shenemar. And now we bring a pasuk that teaches us that even a shul in its destruction is called a shul still. Vashimosi es mikdashechem, I will destroy your mikdashim, even though even though it's still in destruction, it's still referred to as a mikdash me'at, which is a shul, to shasan afke shehen shomemim, they maintain their kedusha even in destruction. Now we have another halacha that applies to a shul that is in disrepair, alu bo asavim, if weeds, grass, weeds came out, they're growing there, lo yitlosh, don't cut them down, don't have a gardener come and mow it down, mipnei agmas nefesh, we want people to have pain and anguish by seeing a shul that it is disrepair, and there should be a desire to repair it and get it functional as well. Indeed, we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch and Halacha that if it would indeed be permitted to cut it down, but when if you do that, you have to leave it lying there, the grasses and the weeds, so people will have that necessary agmas nefesh when seeing a shul in disrepair. Mishnah Dalit starts our discussion of the Kriyas HaTorah, and we're going to start off, because the main focus of our Masechta is Purim, we'll start off with talking about Kriyas, special Kriyas at the time of Purim and Pesach as well. So just some background at this time of the year, during Purim and Pesach, there are four special Parshias that we read. We're not replacing the Parshas HaShavua. On a typical Shabbos, we our minhag is to have a Parsha Sashavua read on an annual basis. We complete the Torah, so we have a Parsha each week, and we also have a Maftir, which is rereading the last few psukim of the Parsha, and in addition, we have the Haftarah, which is reading from the Nevi'im that relates to the Parsha. There are times when events come up during the year on our calendar that we will replace the Haftarah with something special that doesn't relate to the Parsha. And there are times that we replace not only the Haftarah, but the Maftir as well. So we're starting to talk about the Arba Parshios that are read at the time of Purim and Pesach, that we replace not only the Haftarah, that we read something new, special, because of the Arba Parshios, but we also replace the Maftir as well. So the Arba Parshios goes as follows. It's Parsha Shkalim is read on a Shabbos. It's either if Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, or it's read before Rosh Chodesh Adar. The reason is it talks about the bringing of the Shkalim at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Each individual gave a half a shekel to participate in the communal offerings. For example, the Korban Tamid, you had to pay to participate in those Korbanos. So that was done. The donations of the half a shekel started on the first of Adar through the month of Adar, had to be completed by the first of Nisan. So that was read, that because of that Shkalim, we read the Parsha of Shkalim either beyond Rosh Chodesh, if it falls on Shabbos, or if Rosh Chodesh falls during the week, we'll read it on the prior Shabbos, effectively announcing this is the time that the Shkalim were given. It's next, we read Parsha Zachor. Remember that Amalek attacked us in Haman Purim. That's also part of Amalek, the attack of Haman against Klal Yisrael. So we read the Parsha of Zachor, which indeed many poskim say is a mitzvah midoraisa. So that's read the Shabbos prior to Purim. Next of the four Parshas, number three is Parsha Saparis. Some poskim say that this is deoraisa as well. This discusses if somebody came into contact with a corpse, so he's tmein meis, or she's tmein meis, the process of becoming tahor from that with the use of the paraduma, the ash of the paraduma, that is announced. This is read prior, a few weeks prior to Pesach, making an announcement. Pesach is coming. Be metahar yourselves to prepare the Korban Pesach. And closer to Pesach, the fourth of the Arba Parshios is Parsha Sachodesh, which discusses a number of the halachas of Pesach, Korban Pesach, and not having chametz, etc. So that is Parshas Hachodesh. So the Mishnah says as follows. It's actually a very complicated Mishnah, so we're going to just keep it on a high level. Rosh Chodesh, Mishnah Dalet, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Shabbos, Korin B'Parsha Shkalim, we read the first of the Arba Parshios, which is Parsha Shkalim, we read it on that Shabbos. Chal Yos B'Socha Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh fell during the week on a weekday, Makdimim L'Sha'avar U'Mafsikim L'Shabbos Acharis, we will read the Parsha, the first of the Arba Parshios of Shkalim, on the prior Shabbos, and on the next Shabbos, we will not have one of the Arba Parshios, we will have the normal Parshas HaShavua, normal Maftir, normal Haftarah, we don't do anything special, and Bashnia, and the next week thereafter, in other words, the week before Purim, we will read the second of the Arba Parshios, which is Zachor. Continuing, Bashlishis, the third of the Arba Parshios is read, which is Para Aduma, that's read a few weeks before Pesach, as we mentioned, and the fourth of the Arba Parshios, and these are not necessarily read on Shabbos is back to back, but the fourth of the Arba Parshios is HaChodesh HaSeh Lachem, which, as we mentioned, that's read shortly before Pesach. It discusses a number of the halachas, and the week after HaChodesh, in other words, it's only four special Parshios, but Chamishis, the next week, Chozrim LeKisidron, we go back to the normal order of the Parshios. In other words, we'll read the normal Parshas HaSavua, the normal Maftir, and the Haftar will get back into the order reading something that relates to the Parshas HaShavua. Now, we are going to continue into discussing when there are times that the normal cycle of the Kriyas HaTorah will be interrupted because various events come up, various holidays come up. So it goes as follows. The Kol Mafsikin, for any of the following, what we're about to list out, we will stop either the special, the normal Haftorah, or sometimes we'll stop we'll replace the Maftir, or sometimes we're going to replace, in fact, the Parshas HaShavua, as we'll see. The Kol Mafsikin, for all of these events, we will have changes in the normal cycle of the reading. Barosh Chodashim for Rosh Chodesh, Bachanukah, Bapurim, Batanios, when we have a Tainis, Bamaamados, we'll explain that in a little bit, Uva Yom HaKippurim. So in all these, and we'll discuss the changes, just to explain what's the Maamados, there's actually a requirement that when the offerings in the Beis HaMikdash are brought on behalf of somebody, the owner of that korban has to be present. So when we bring the Korban Tami, which is a communal offering, we need a representative of Klal Yisrael to be there, because that Korban Tami is brought on behalf of the Tzibur. So Chazal instituted that we would divide up Kohanim, Levinim, Yisrael, up into 24 groups called the Ma'amados, and each had a designated week. So approximately two times a year, your Ma'amad would be on for the week. If you live in Yerushalayim, close to Yerushalayim, you would actually go to the Beis HaMikdash to be witness. The Yisrael would be a witness to the bringing of the Korban Tami, the Kohanim and the Levim would be working, and if you were not close to Yerushalayim, you would stay back wherever you lived, and you'd have special Kriyas HaTorah the entire week. So what we are talking about is when somebody is part of the Ma'amad, part of the group that would otherwise have gone to Yerushalayim, but they're far away, they have a special Kriyas HaTorah that would interrupt the regular Monday and Thursday laning. They won't read from the Parshas HaShavua, but they'll read the special reading for their Ma'amad. So now let's explain the Mishnah in a little bit more detail. It goes as follows. We're going to divide it into three categories. When we have Rosh Chodesh, when we have Hanukkah, or when we have Purim, and it falls on Shabbos, in each of those situations, we will read the normal Kriyas HaTorah, but we will replace the regular Haftorah with a special Haftorah, which discusses either which relates to Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. So that's when it relates to those three. And next to the discussion of Yom Kippur is when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we don't only replace the Haftorah, we replace everything. It's a different Parsha, it's a different Maftir, it's a different Haftorah. And in the third category that we're talking about, when it's a Tainis, it's a fast day, or it's a Ma'amad, those we're not talking about when they fall on Shabbos. We won't have a Tainis on Shabbos, but we're talking about when it falls on a Monday or Thursday, we will replace the normal laning, which is a parsha, the rishon of that week's parsha, and we will replace it with something that relates to the tiny sermamid. As we know, when we have a fast day, we have a special reading for the fast day, and if it falls on Monday and Thursday, we will not also read the parshas HaShavua. Mishnah Hay lists out the Torah readings for the various Chagim. It should be noted that many of our Minhagim differ from what we are about to read. So the Mishnah says, starting by Pesach, Korin beParshas Moados Shel Toras Kohanim. When it comes to Pesach, we read about the Chagim, the various holidays, the Shalosh Regalim that is found in Toras Kohanim, which is Vayikra, Prokim Chav Beis and Chav Gimel, as it relates to the Chagim. Next, Ba'atzeres on Shavuos, we read Shiva Shavuos, to all about the halachas of Shavuos found in Devarim, Barosh Hashanah, Bechodesh Hashvi, Bechad Lachodesh, Rosh Hashanah, we read Bechodesh Hashvi, which is found in Vayikra Chav Gimel, all about Rosh Hashanah. Continuing Biyom HaKippurim, we read Acharei Mos, that's found in Vayikra, so it's all about the Avoda on Yom Kippur. Biyom Tov Harishon Shalchag, on the first day, the first Yontif of Chag, which is Sukkot, Korin Beparshas Moados B'Shabbatoras Kohanim, just like we read on the first day of Pesach, we read of the Chagim in Vayikra. We have the same reading on the first day of Sukkot and the rest of Sukkot. So B'Shaar Kol Yemos HaChag, that there were various Karbonos, each day had a different number of Karbonos than the next day. B'Karbonos HaChag, we read about the various Karbonos HaChag, each day has its own reading. In other words, on the second day of Sukkot, we read Ubayom HaSheni, third day, Uviyom HaShlishi, Uviyom HaRavi, etc., because each day had a different number of korbanos, so it has its own different Kriyas HaTorah. Mishnah Vav is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, and we are discussing the appropriate Torah portions for each of the respective holidays. B'Chanukah, B'Nisim, and Chanukah we read about the offerings, the korbanos brought by the Nisim, those are the princes of the tribes, that when the altar was dedicated, the Mizbeach was dedicated in the Mishkan, they each brought their korbanos. That's very relevant for Chanukah, where we rededicated the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash after the Nisim of Chanukah. But Purim, where we have the downfall of Haman. Haman was a descendant of Amalek, Vayavo Amalek. Accordingly, we read about Amalek attacking Klal Yisrael. Broshei Chodshim and Rosh Chodesh, we read of Broshei Chodshechem, we read about the various korbanos that were brought on Rosh Chodesh, discussed in Bamibar Chavches. B'ma'amados, we talked about what the ma'amados are in the two Mishnayos ago, they read B'ma'aseh Bereishis. We would read the Ma'aseh Bereishis at the beginning, almost at the way beginning of Bereishis. Next, Betanios, Brachos Uklalos. When it comes to the Tainios, fast days, we read the Tolchacha. That's Bracha and Klala. If you keep the Torah, we receive Bracha. If we don't keep the Torah, Klala, we have rebuke, we have curses. That's brought in Vayikra Chavav. Accordingly, on a Tainis, we want to inspire people to do tshuva. So we want to hear about Brachos and Klalos, that we should all focus on the Brachos and indeed avoid the Klalos. Continuing in that vein, we're going to mention a halacha when Tochacha, when the curses in the Torah are read, it's read straight. We don't divide it up between two people who are Ola LaTorah, two readers. Ein mafsikim beklalos ela echad kore es kulam. We don't divide up when we're reading the Klalos, the Tochacha of the Torah. One person reads it and read it straight. As long as we're talking about various halachas, we'll talk about the laning that we have on Monday, Thursday, and also Shabbos afternoon, where we read the Parsha. When it comes to Monday and Thursday, we read the upcoming Parsha of that Shabbos. And when it comes to Shabbos afternoon, that's when we start reading the next week's Parsha. So it says as follows, Basheni uvachamishi uvashabbos mincha, on those lanings, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, on mincha, korin kesidron, we read based on the regular portion that we are reading that week or the upcoming week when it comes to mincha, ve'ein olim lahem min acheshbon, and it doesn't count for the computation. In other words, when it comes to that next Shabbos, we reread the whole thing. It's not as if we get quote-unquote credit that we read the Rishon portion already, so we don't have to read it again. We have to read the entire Torah, and that is specifically on Shabbos. On Shabbos, as we read each of the parshias to make up the completion of the whole Torah, our minhag is to read it each and every year. Now, as long as we've been discussing in this Mishnah, the prior Mishnah, the requirement, it's a rabbinic requirement to read on each of the Chagim its related portion in the Torah. We bring a pasuk, it's an asmachta, to teach us that Shene'emar Vaydaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe taught the Moadim, the holidays, the festivals, to Klal Yisrael, and the drushes as follows: Mitzvasan Shiyukorin Kol Echad VeEchad VeZmano. The mitzvah is to read each of the portions in its proper time. In other words, to read a portion of the Torah that relates to each of the Chagim, as we have mentioned in the prior two Mishnayos.